Ramsey TV.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Created by the Elohim were the heavens and the earth became a chaos and vacant. Several years ago, Martin Zender was born, and he became a chaos and vacant. And there was darkness upon the waters. There was darkness upon your life. There was emptiness. There was no order, otherwise known as chaos. And yet, the Spirit of God vibrated upon the waters. This is Martin Zender speaking to you from a world of chaos. It doesn't look chaotic, I know that. My microphone broke, snapped kind of the supporting thing. This thing's so complicated. It's got little suspension cables or bungee cords that supposed to suspend it. And I don't know what happened. One thing, it came out undone. I can't put it back because I'm just not too smart about these things. And I'm trying to plug things in, setting up lights here. It's ugly. Anybody that's actually ever been here and watched me make a show can testify. They walk away shaking their heads. I don't know how this guy does it every day. Rightly so. I don't know how I do it every day either. As I always say, this operation is held together by duct tape and Elmer's glue. But I'm thinking then, as I begin, I had a completely different talk in mind, but the chaos I was experiencing as I was trying to set up this show, and I tried to adjust the height of the microphone and it slipped down. Just these little things are epic in that they are symptoms. Oh shit, I bumped this thing, I almost wrecked it. Of a greater problem. And I think, well, I'll speak for myself. I'm constantly looking to arrive at some place where everything is steady, everything is stable. I'm in a zone, I'm cruising, and I just want to put it on cruise control, like for the rest of my life. But God will never let that happen. It's a ragged ride. I wish it were even. I really got out of shape in the last, 3 months. Well, you know, it's relative to what people think out of shape is, but I can tell when I'm getting out of shape. But I finally figured it out that I do it on purpose because it is much more interesting and exciting to come back from being a lazy bum than to maintain a standard of excellent fitness. Maintenance is boring to me. I mean, to just reach this plateau and to just keep it going, it's dull. It's not stimulating. It's like, I need the battle. I need the fight. I don't like to admit this, and I wish I didn't. But I think this is a good attitude to have. Maybe this will help you because this is the way God makes you anyway. And so I purposely, I don't consciously think it's purposeful, but now I think I subconsciously do it. I let myself go. I'm going to skip this run. I think I'll have this piece of cake. I'll have two pieces of cake. And I do this for 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks. And I can tell I'm going down the tubes. I can feel the fat coming to my midsection. And people will say, you look good, Zender. I say, yeah, the Titanic looked good for an hour after the iceberg struck. I said, I'm doomed. You know, I already know that because I've lost the discipline that it takes, right? But I get down to this place where I'm looking in the mirror, I feel like crap, and I just can't take it anymore. And then the Rocky music starts. And that is a great moment because I love the struggle of getting it back. So I think, subconsciously, I purposely run my life so that I can get down to a trough and I have to work and I have to challenge myself to get back up. And I'm looking now at the big picture. And I'm wondering if God is doing this to all of us on purpose. No smooth sailing. I note this, that in my life generally, I have 2 good days in a row. Never 3. I cannot remember when I've ever sown three good days together. You have an epic day, right? And everything goes right and you're feeling great and you get enough sleep and you just, you're alert, you're awake, and you think, man. And it's some stupid part of your brain, which is most of it, says, I'm going to keep this going. I'm on a roll. And all I got to do tomorrow is the same thing I did today. And the rest of my life, I finally got it figured out. I've got every puzzle piece put into place. And now for the rest of my life is going to be smooth sailing because I got all the pieces together. Well, that has never lasted for me more than 2 days. And then something goes to hell. I almost said goes to shit, but I didn't want to say that. I'm trying to keep a clean show here. So things go to hell and you try to get it back. Or sometimes like me, you don't try and you keep going down, down, down until you reach that, what you would call the bottom. Everybody's bottom is different. And then you hear the Rocky music and it's the constant having to conquer the weakness, the constant having to conquer the fatigue. And this is the way it's always going to be. And I think that if we accept that, life will be much easier. But going back to Genesis 1:1, because as I'm sitting down to do this show, this is not what I plan to talk about at all. I'm thinking of the disruption of the world. And I'm looking at the first three verbs of Genesis, created by the Elohim, or the heavens and the earth, created, first verb, yet the earth became a chaos and vacant. Second verb, became a chaos and vacant. Third verb, yet the Spirit of God is vibrating. And there is God's pattern. I've told you this before, throughout the Aeonian times. He creates, he wrecks, and he redeems. You'll see it everywhere with Israel. Creates it, wrecks it, and redeems it. Well, let's back up. Right after the disruption of the world, Adam creates him, wrecks him, redeems him. Abraham creates him, wrecks him, redeems him. It's everywhere. Creates, wrecks, and redeems. And so when you come into this world, like I just related of, you know, Martin Zender came into the world and Martin Zender became a chaos and a vacant. The trouble starts right away. And it's all relative. When you're a kid, not getting enough food is a disaster, and you cry and you whine, and then for the rest of your life, it's this battle, it's this struggle to, and this is what I'm saying to you, I'm thinking that maybe you can let go of the struggle. Struggle is to maintain some kind of even keel. You want to keep it on an even keel. Every sailor on the sea keeps the ship on an even keel. I think that's where that word keel comes from, right? It's a thing in the back that steers the ship or something like that. A pilot wants to keep his plane on the level. We all want to fly straight and fly right, but we are sabotaged continuously. Continuously. And I'm looking at this, and I have, but I constantly forget it, as something that simply must be accepted. And it harkens back to the first three verbs of Genesis, created by the Elohim. The earth became a chaos and vacant, and the Spirit of God vibrates. And it's the Spirit of God acting upon chaotic and void creatures that gives the glory to God and not to humans. I just referenced Abraham. God calls Abraham, says, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And then he considers his body, it's as good as dead. We all know, but he believed God. He still believed God. And so on your worst day, when you feel the utmost chaotic and the utmost vacant, that is the day to believe God. This is a beautiful opportunity, if I can speak in the relative here. That is a beautiful opportunity to believe God when you feel chaotic and vacant and you're wrecked. And life is taking its toll on you. The eons taking its toll on you. Your lack of whatever is taking its toll on you. Your microphone falling down is taking its toll on you. It's the straw that breaks the camel's back. And this is when God absolutely loves it. Don't even think of trying to perform your way out of it. But there's one thing you can do. You look up at heaven when you're at your worst point and you say, I believe you. what you are going to do with me. I believe you. You do it at that moment. And that is earth-shattering. It's not only earth-shattering, it's celestial-shattering, because I'm convinced, since we are a theater to messengers and to men, that is, angels and to humans, as Paul says, we're a theater, they're watching this train wreck down here. And it is so supernatural to see people who are having their choo-choos destroyed, i.e. train wreck, yet looking to heaven and praising God. Like the Who's down in Whoville. The Grinch tries to steal Christmas from the Who's down in Whoville. And he assumes that when he steals all their presents, all their packages, all their boxes, all their bags, they're all going to say, boo, hoo, hoo. And yet what happens? The Who's wake up on Christmas morning to find all their shit has been stolen, all their Christmas ornaments, their flim-floozles and whim-woozles and bang-boozles. And the Grinch can't wait to hear them crying and cursing. Did a Who ever curse? Yeah, oh, the Who's have cursed before. Okay, well, the Grinch, waiting for it. What does he hear? Wahoo Doris, Wahoo Doris, welcome Christmas, Christmas Day. Yahoo. Okay, I'm going to stop there, but you get the idea. They're singing. The Grinch can't believe it. He grabs his dog Max, pulls Max down to eye level and says,
It came without ribbons.
It came without tags.
It came without packages, boxes, or bags.
He couldn't believe it. He wanted to hear them crying, but he heard them singing. And that's when the Grinch freaked out. The Grinch was born again, according to Christian lore. You've seen the show. There's an x-ray of the Grinch's heart. It was 10 sizes too small. Maybe 3 sizes too small. When he was born, the Grinch became a chaos and vacant. He was so mean. He wanted to hear the Who's go boo, hoo, hoo. But instead, Wahoo Doris freaked out. And then he realized, maybe Christmas doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas means a little bit more. Yeah. This is such a great show. I know Christmas has just passed. I don't care. It's timeless. Can I ask you this? It just reminded me of something. Why is it when, if somebody heard Silent Night, say in June, they'd be repulsed? It's like, what are they playing that song now for? Silent Night. You can't sing Christmas carols in June, July, August. You can't. It's like against the law. Holy Night. Oh, come, all ye faithful. Why, you want to gag when you hear it in June. It's, why is it? Anyway. So the Grinch is born again. I like to think he becomes a member of the body of Christ because he realizes, my God, these people are praising God. I mean, not in the show, but this is my interpretation. Injecting my own overlay onto the scene there. But they're celebrating in the face of chaos and vacancy. The Grinch left chaos down in Whoville. He left vacancy down in Whoville. He even took the roast beast. I mean, he even took the last ornament from the tree of Cindy Lou Who, who was no more than 2. The Who's were wrecked. In the midst of the wreckage, they praise God. They became a chaos and vacant. Yet what happened? The Spirit of God vibrated upon the waters of Whoville, and all the Who's, instead of saying boo hoo hoo, praised God. They lifted their voices in song in the middle of the wreckage. And this is it. This is it. So you can't lose. This is what I mean. I'm looking back at my analogy of when I know that my health is being compromised and I'm eating poorly and I'm not working out like I should. It's fun to let go. It's fun. So you almost can't lose in the wreckage section, in the chaos and vacant part of this thing. You almost can't lose because it kind of feels good in a way. I'm just trying to find a silver lining here. It kind of feels good in a way, like to just let it go and say, oh, to hell with it. I'm done. Who gives a crap? Blah, blah. And you're just like, that's it. And so you just revel in it. You know, you're sitting there like Jabba the Hutt, just like eating a bag of Cheetos or eating five Twix bars. That's my new go-to food, Twix bars. I buy the party size, the double thing, and I eat. And then I buy another one. Never mind. You don't want to hear this, believe me. But it's fun. But then it gets to the point, and this is a brief moment. It gets to the point where I can't take this anymore. I've reached bottom. Then the Rocky music starts. Start the music, Adrian. Bam, 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 and you start. Then so that's fun, too. So it's fun to go down. It's fun to come up. So that's what I mean by win-win. We can't lose. The only bad part is that bottom moment where you just like cringe and you go, ah, I can't do this anymore. But that doesn't last very long. Wow, this is great. So on any given day when you're feeling like crap, it feels good to let go. And we let go, though, with confidence that even in our let-go state, God loves us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. As I'm going to tell you tomorrow, which I meant to tell you today, I intended to tell you today, and still all this, before all this crap happened to my Elmer's glue and duct tape, I was going to tell you how God justifies the irreverence. Like, what? That's a shocker. Tomorrow. Wait for it. Tomorrow. If I bump this thing one more time, the whole thing's going to blow up. Sorry. So it's the Spirit of God vibrating. That's the third verb. And it's the pattern not only throughout scriptures. I just gave you a handful of examples off the top of my head. Lazarus. He dies so that Jesus can raise him. Jonah. He's called with a great call. Go to Nineveh. Now I'm going to hide from God. How are you going to do that? I'm going to get in a big boat. Oh, that'll work. Great idea, Jonah. God will never find you in a big boat. He gets wrecked, swallowed by a whale. That's a bad day. But you give up in the freaking give up in the belly of the fish. Then God spits you out, and then it's like the Rocky music. I'm a herald to these people. I mean, there's just no end to the examples. And then take it from biblical examples to your life today. And that's it. You were born. God created you, 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 and you, yet you became a chaos and vacant. Your life was wrecked in some way, maybe from the jump, I don't know. You never have 3 days in a row that are decent. And then it's the Spirit of God that vibrates upon your life. And that's the day you were called. But it's not only the day you were called. It's every day. Every day the Spirit of God vibrates upon your waters, vibrates upon your land. He's separating the land from the seas, bringing light out of darkness. Going to talk about that this week. Light. He's bringing light out of darkness. You're the darkness. And it's now His action upon you that is the real story. Everything else was just preparation. The calling into existence and the wrecking, that was the preparation. That was your part of it. Just get called into existence. We're going to introduce you to the world. Now we're going to wreck you. You're going to become a chaos and vacant. That's your part. Your part's over. Oh, really? No. Well, what do I do now? You sit back and watch the Spirit of God vibrate.